You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Every year, 130 million Chinese workers travel from the cities that they work in to their rural homes for the New Year holiday. To get a sense of its size, that number is almost equal to the entire population of Japan. It's the largest human migration in the world, and it's always complete chaos. Li Xingfan documents it in his debut film called Last Train Home, which opens tomorrow at the IFC Center. It was an official selection at this year's Sundance Festival, and it brings Li Xingfan to our show today. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Where are all the workers coming from and going to?
Well, they came from different parts of the country, from the inland provinces, from Sichuan, Hubei, or Hunan. Essentially, they all come from countryside. And they used to be peasants, but now they have to travel thousands of miles to find work in the factories in Chinese coastal cities.
And pretty much all of those factories are on the east, southeast coast of China?
That's correct. And most of the factories, I would say, are making products that are being exported to the rest of the world that we use and we buy.
So they have to be near the ships that are going to take them.
Yes.
Why is the New Year the single holiday that people go home for, not birthdays or anniversaries or anything else?
The Chinese New Year is the most important festival in the Chinese calendar and in the culture, in a cultural sense. So for that festival, it's like Thanksgiving or Christmas here. Everyone is supposed to get home. During the year, they work very hard for very long hours, unfortunately for very little pay. So essentially, the Chinese New Year would be the only time that they would have a leave to go back home.
And when we say Chinese New Year, we're talking about more than one day.
The holiday usually is a 7-day holiday, but some factories would give the workers a longer holiday, maybe 10, 15 days. But for many of the migrants, it took days and days for them to ride a train to go back home.
You focus on a family of factory workers. Do all of the factories close for the holiday?
Yes, they all close for the holiday, and everyone goes. So it creates a big rush on all kind of transports you can imagine, trains, ships.
What about other businesses? Obviously, the train workers are working.
Right. I guess in the city, the shops are all open. It's a big shopping season for the city dwellers.
Although I know in New York's Chinatown, many restaurants will close on for the New Year's holiday to do renovations. That's the time they choose to do it.
Yeah, the Chinese is always working.
It happens in the middle of the winter. Is the weather an issue for this migration?
It always been a big issue, weather. I mean, these people, they have to travel for such a long distance. And obviously, train is the best way to travel. But again, the railroad system would always be affected by different weathers. If you travel thousands of kilometers anywhere experiencing a bad weather, the railroad would be affected.
But people also wearing their winter coats and carrying luggage. And I wonder if there are enough seats for 130 million people in any railroad system, even the vastest one in the world. How can any railroad system accommodate all the people who want to travel at the same time?
That is a very good question, and I don't really have an answer. But you're quite right that no railway system in the world could possibly handle that that many people, 130 million. And one even bigger problem is that all these people are going from one direction to the other, and most of the trains would come back almost empty. So that's putting even more pressure on the railway system.
And you focus on a couple who want to go back to Sichuan from the city of Guangzhou in southeast China, where they work in a factory. And there's a lot of tension because they're not sure they can get a ticket, and they're not alone. So what happens if they don't get a ticket?
That is really the sad part of this migration. Many actually won't get a ticket, so they would have to stay behind, stay in the factory dorms, and spend the new year. And they would call back to their village family, and you know, just talk to your kids on the phone during the New Year's Day. And that was really sad. Actually, in 2008, while we were filming, there was a big snowstorm hitting hit the railway system. So in the province of Canton, where most of the factories were, there was no train coming in and out for an entire week. So hundreds of thousands of people got stuck there and was not able to go back home.
And many of them seemed to be staying in the train station waiting for the trains to arrive. You have the feeling that if a train showed up, that some would be trampled by stampeding crowds.
Yeah, it was people everywhere at the train station. We happened to be there also with our subject. We were filming. I read in the newspaper that 600,000 people got stuck in the railway station, and it was police and it was military there. It's a total chaos. It's like a war zone.
My guest is Li Xingfan. He's made a film called Last Train Home, which opens tomorrow at the IFC Center. How did you meet this family that you made your subjects?
I always wanted to make a film about the migrant workers because I believe that they are the cornerstone of the Chinese economy. So, but it was in 2006 when I first started working on it. I went down to the city of Guangzhou. There are thousands of factories around that region. So I worked among all those factories, and I just sat down with the workers and talked to them and get to know them. Ask them to tell me their stories. And after a few weeks, I met the Zhangs, who essentially become the subject of this film. I immediately liked the family, the couple, because the mother told me that they left their village 16 years ago. And for all these years, they only get to see their little daughter for less than a year.
Well, their daughter claims that it's her grandparents who have raised her, who are real parents, and she barely knows her own parents.
Exactly. I mean, it's so tragic to me when I first heard this story. You can imagine how hard it is for a mother not being able to spend any time with her child. Basically, the children, the child grew up estranged with them. They're total strangers.
Well, do the parents have any choice? Could they work closer to home?
That's what I see the saddest part for this film is that while I was filming, I started to feel that I can't blame anybody in this family. It's not the parents who doesn't want to take care of the children because they have to work. And the children, they grew up with their grandparents, and they were, first of all, they all felt being deserted by their parents. And secondly, they don't have a mentor in their life. And so when they grow up, they tend to get lost. But like I said, it's nobody's fault. I think the society or this economy is not giving enough opportunity for this working men and women.
Well, it's obviously a society that's in transition. These people were peasants in a previous generation. Now they're working in factories in hopes that their children will have better lives. And the parents repeatedly, when they see their kids once a year, keep on telling them to study hard. And actually, they seem like strangers who say, you know, be good kids and study hard. Chen Suqing, the mother, expresses her disappointment that her son is fifth in his class. Well, I would think being fifth in your class isn't so terrible.
I know. I mean, I can totally understand and relate to why the mother or the parents always kept stressing the kids out by talking about their school marks, because to them, it's the only way out. It's the only way for the children to climb up the social ladder and not to repeat the grim life that they had, you know, working on day-to-day in the factories in a sweatshop.
At one point, the grandmother of the family said China needed agricultural workers when she was young, which was during the Mao years.
Yeah.
So she stayed on the farm. Now, I guess everyone feels China needs these workers in the factories. But the daughter of the family, and you were very lucky that she's so photogenic as well, Zhang Jin, she rebels by dropping out of school and going to work in the city herself.
Right.
Is this typical? Are we seeing a lot of that?
Yes, it is very typical. As Qing, in one of the earlier interviews, she did say that all her classmates has gone to find work in the factories. It is a classical case. I mean, she's a real character. When I started filming, I knew at one point she would, just like any young kids from the countryside, she would want to leave. She would want to have a better life in the city.
Which means clothes and going to discos and stuff like that.
Yeah, and internet. You know, the I think they grew up in a much freer society as China opens up and try to catch up with the rest of the world. You know, the market economy did bring a profound social change, social and economic change to that country. So as part of it, Qing, she wants to enjoy the benefits of the development as well. So that,
well, we talk in this country about an American dream. Is there a current Chinese dream?
Yes, I would say definitely. Yes, there is a Chinese dream that everyone wants to make money. And I mean, I can't blame them. Look at the lives of the grandparents' generation and the lives of the parents. They have been working so hard, and they barely enjoyed their life. They are sacrificing their lives for first the country and then for their own family. But then the younger generation, it's not going to be the same story for them. They want to they're embracing individualism.
Which is a total flip-flop of all of the rules of the Maoist society. In a couple of generations, we've seen China, which still calls itself a communist country, become a totally opposite country to what it was.
I think it is, yeah.
The values are totally different.
The values,
think people from the Cultural Revolution would be shocked to see what China is about today.
For sure. I would definitely agree. I mean, even for me, I think I have changed a lot in the past 10 years. When I first visited the States, that was in 2003, and I thought, wow, this country is so rich. It's beyond my imagination, because our plane landed and I walked out the airport and everything's so nice and organized, and it's snowing outside. We were in Sundance. And inside, it's so warm. So I was asking the people who came to pick us up at the airport, I said, is this always like this warm in the States during the winter? And he'd probably think I was crazy to ask this question. So, yeah, I think China wants to get rich as well.
You filmed during the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. Would people like the family you were focusing on pay much attention to the games?
No. I would say like most of the migrant workers. It's very sad. It seems that all they care or they care to think about is to work. I mean, it's not their fault. They have to. They have to support their family. And working and making money basically took up all their attention. So the Olympic game is really not a game for these people.
Well, following the Olympics, there was the world financial crisis. What happened to people like your subjects? Did they have problems holding on to their jobs? Were factories closing?
The mom actually lost her job during the financial crisis. I mean, the manufacturing industry got hit pretty badly. If I remember correctly, there were 20 million people lost their jobs in a couple months when the financial crisis hit. So in another way that China is also, I think the country is also trying to move away from the low-end manufacturing jobs because the country has an aging population and there's less worker and the younger generation grew up, they probably won't repeat their parents' lifestyle.
And we won't see this kind of migration in the future because the kids will grow up in the bigger cities.
Yes, yes. And they don't plan to go back to villages.
Li Xunfan's film, Last Train Home, opens tomorrow at the IFC Center. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.